The beginning of February always means it's National Signing Day for athletes across the valley, but in particular, we'll zero in on athletes closer to home. We've still got a couple of sports that are in season, and for one CUSD team, perfection is the name of the game. Lots to discuss in this episode, and with that, plenty of teams, plenty of talent, and plenty of action. Brett Quinton with the C-Town Rivals podcast, where high school sports is always on the agenda. Ralph Amson and Chili get it popping, so don't forget to reach out to us via Twitter. You know we'll tweet back. Visit us on ArizonaVarsity.com, and of course, give a like to our Facebook page. Boys basketball, and we'll start off with none other than the Basha Bears. 25-0. That's nice right there. Coach Grothaus has these boys playing really well. Gabe McLaughlin and Terrell Brown combined for 30 points a game. Up next for this squad, a sub-500 Desert Mountain team and a Perry team who they beat handily to close out the year. Ralph, in recent memory, do you recall a CUSD team winning this many hoop games in a row?
I don't. It's always been Corona. Just okay, out of wow. Chandler Unified School District. So 25 in a row is huge. I think on the girls' side, we've seen it happen. Hamilton girls have come close to that. Seton girls have done it a few times.
Sure.
Valley Christian girls, I think, have done it like 3 years in a row.
Now, I ask you, going back to one of your years in high school, obviously the Chandler girls team that had Lindsay Taylor. What was their regular season? Or what did they lose a couple games?
Yeah, they did. I think they went 29-3, and they played against some out-of-state competition.
Gotcha.
If I'm remembering correctly, the only reason I even remember it is because a couple of years ago, Lindsay Taylor was elected into the
Hall of Fame, right?
Chandler Sports Hall of Fame, and then the next year the whole team was.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
And that Chandler Sports Hall of Fame ceremony is actually coming up in a couple of weeks. Yes. Hopefully we can get somebody out there and interview. I think Brett Hundley is going to be a member of that class like that. So that should be fun. But, even they lost a few regular season games. So this is really special. And I was thinking about earlier today, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, this is a team. I was like, oh, this is a team that's doing it without Clay Stahl. Mm. And it's doing it without a few of its other players. Mm. But then I remembered, like, they haven't had Clay Stahl in...
Well, yeah, he graduated last year, yeah.
Because, he missed his whole
senior year
with a torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they really... I think it's really been Gabe McLaughlin's team by default for, like, 3 years now.
And that's it's true.
That they're taking advantage of the fact that they've had this much senior leadership.
I'm impressed anytime anybody's undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be consistent. And I punished Mountain Point's football program for this for years. The schedule's a little bit, you know, a little soft. And I'm not mad at them. Their schedule, it's not what Shadow Mountains is. So their undefeated situation pales in comparison to, you know, what Shadow Mountains doing. But you're winning all these games. I am impressive. So I got to give them a round of applause. Terrell Brown doing a great job of carrying this team with his partner in crime, Gabe McLaughlin. As long as those two are playing, they do have a chance to, you know, run the table and, you know, go all the way. They don't have to see a team like Shadow Mountain. Maybe they'll play against Corona, and, you know, we can see what Barcelo and company will do. I know me and Ralph were out there, and we saw Corona get an unexpected victory against DV. So, you know, when that matchup comes, you know, we can talk about that a little bit.
The Hamilton Huskies will move on, still maintaining a top 10 ranking. They are ranked number 9. They were defeated in their last game 50-48 by the Brophy Broncos. Junior Rashard Smith is their best player. He scored 17 in that game, but the Huskies managed just 5 points in the third period. They fall to 16-8 on the year. They do close out the year with home games against Horizon and Chandler before the postseason begins. Both the Chandler Wolves and the Perry Pumas, they check in with a record of 10-14, the latest game being a 65-55 win for the boys from Arizona Avenue. In his first year at the helm, Coach Ed Gibson has his team thinking playoffs, and they're led by Tevian Jones and Brandon Thompson. They combine for better than 28 a game. As for the 20th-ranked Pumas, tough road ahead. The Mountain View Toros, they're up next at 14-7, followed by unbeaten Basha to close out the year. Commander King and the Seton Catholic Sentinels. They blow out Casa Grande by a score of 83-53. The Red and Gold improved to 10-15 on the season, and they've won their last three. Our research department, Chili, has uncovered a solid fact, and I know you like facts.
Oh, what's that?
The 83 points they scored last night, the most in the Commander King era.
Wow. Well, that's a good thing. I do think that Commander King, you know, contrary to what to the very unsavory things that I said about them a couple weeks ago, I do think that Commander King's situation over there is trending up. They got an impressive young freshman playing on the freshman team over there, I believe. And, you know, I think he'll be okay. You know, Commander King just needs an opportunity to get all these kids at the right time together, because sometimes, you know, timing is everything. So
that's very true.
You know, he's got Pinter and he's got Thompson, and while those kids are good, and I know he's got some senior leadership in Jacob Terrell.
Sure, he's you know, dual sport athlete.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that, you know, contrary to his record right now, Commander King has this program going in the right direction.
Sure. No, I think he's a player's coach. A lot of guys, they like to play from regardless of what that one loss record is. You're absolutely right. I think they are trending upwards, as you would say. Speaking of trending upwards, Valley Christian, 20-3 on the season. They hold the top spot in the 3A division. They crush North Point 60-23. We get Coach Greg Hegsma's thoughts on his team as they move forward into February frenzy.
Coach, as we speak, you are the number one team in 3A boys basketball, but as we spoke about earlier, your team is gelling, but the one seed, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because you always want to be as high as you can, but these days, are you the hunter or are you the hunted?
I'd like to believe we're probably the hunted, just with the Valley Christian name and the number of, you know, the success we've had in the past. We probably are a little bit of the hunted in this region, but I think as coaches we kind of you know, relish that role a little bit too. We like to be playing well. We like to be at the top, and we'll take the challenges that come and hit us. No doubt about it.
19-3 as we speak, 8 straight wins. We got North Point on deck and Castile coming up after that. Tell us about the Castile Colts, what they brought up, the first time you guys met them, and what you anticipate the next go-around.
Well, Coach Houston has done a phenomenal job down there. We saw them play this summer, and granted, that was the first go-around for a lot of those kids playing together, where, you know, they were sophomores, obviously, mostly sophomores playing on the varsity, and yeah, we could see the potential there, but we didn't see them as being necessarily a real threat. Certainly things have changed as they come into the season. Coach Houston's done a phenomenal job with them. They shoot the three pretty well. They're a very disciplined team. They struggle a little bit with physicality and different things like that, but they are, you know, they're a very good team, obviously, you know, seated at number 10 or 11 right now in 3A, and having beaten Yuma Catholic down in Yuma a week ago, certainly, I think makes you know, we'll put them on our radar, no doubt about it, in the sense that they're capable of beating one of the very, very good teams in our not only our region but in the 3A conference, and beating Yuma. So we need to be ready and play, or they certainly can come down here with how they change defenses and things like that, going from man and zone and different things to. They could certainly beat us in our place if we're not ready to play.
I was going to ask you, do you feel that down the road they could be somewhat of a rivalry? Obviously, for football, they were the last game on the season for Valley Christian's schedule. You guys seeing them twice, do you think that could develop into something?
Well, you know, I think probably fortunately for us, they're only going to be in our region for one more year, because they're going to be looking at about 1,400, 1,500 kids. So they're going to go up to 4A. You're probably looking at more of a rivalry with Higley and you know, some of those schools in the 4A region than us. But certainly for next year, I could see that as being a good rival for us, in the sense that you know, we bring back, you know, some really good players, and they're certainly not graduating anyone. So I think it could be, you know, two teams that would be battling in this region. So yeah, I definitely see that as something that could bud for at least the next year, and I'm sure we'll play them a few times over the summer as well.
One guy who won't next year is your leading scorer, Matt Savornik. Without a doubt, it seems like he is your I'm gonna say he's your ace. He's the go-to guy. Who are some of the guys who are his surrounding cast as far as team rebounding? Seems like you guys do that very well. Some guy steps up on the boards each night.
Well, certainly, I think, you know, defensively, we have found a number of different guys that will step up and play defense. So, you know, I think that we have a lot of different options there. I think one of the nice things is Matt is no question our leader. Matt has done a phenomenal job for us throughout the course of the year. But as we've gotten into region play, teams will scout us. They will start preparing for us. And teams have shut him down a little bit. And what has been very nice is we've found ways to win without Matthew necessarily always being our leading scorer. In fact, a couple games where he was not hardly on the board at all as far as scoring. So we've been able to win those games without him being a major factor, which has been nice. You know, we have a couple sophomores in Jalen Grijalva as our point guard and Connor Braun as our forward. You know, Jalen's about 6'1", Connor's about 6'7", and Jalen has good Jalen has great length being a point guard. He's got good speed. He's probably our overall best defender. Just does a great job out on the perimeter, and you know, he just seems to always get his hands on the ball. We chart deflections, and he does a phenomenal job with
charting deflections. Wow.
Yeah, well, that's part of what, you know, if you can deflect the ball, you can get turnovers, and so he does a really good job there. We have another guard, Nashe Machiri, who takes pride in his defense. He's also a very, very quick guard. So we have those two guys kind of leading our front when it comes to defending out in the perimeter and taking teams out of just getting into their offense easily. Connor, like I said, at 6'7", helps us inside. And then Christian Cameraman, our other starter, who, you know, the one thing about Christian is he's by far and away our most physical player. He's, you know, he's a football player. Being that we're young in our forward spots and start three guards, we need him on the floor to kind of man things up a little bit and being kind of our physical presence on the floor for us.
Defensively, you guys obviously extremely solid, but it seems like the offense is where you want the team to elevate if you guys are to go deeper in the playoffs again.
Yeah, you know what? We felt that we have we had the ability to spread the floor on teams and to be able to shoot and knock down some threes. One of our better three-point shooters, Grayson Howell, is probably still rounding out into form a little bit. He was out until Christmas with a broken wrist. He's had a couple good games, a couple not so good games, but he's kind of just, you know, getting into form yet a little bit. And our sophomore is still understanding what it takes to be a consistent everyday scorer. So, yeah, I think that offensively, we certainly have guys who can take the ball to the rim, but we need to become more physical on the offensive end of the floor and certainly are using that part of the game as probably the main area that we can improve on as we head towards the end of the season and into playoffs.
They call it February frenzy, and we certainly hope you're playing deep into February. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much.
20-3, and I tell you what I've always liked about Valley Christian, and we'll also hear from Scott Timmer in a bit. They've got that family thing going on, very, very close knit, and it truly shows in their record year in and year out.
Yeah, they got a good guard. I'm gonna butcher his last name, so I totally apologize. Matthews
Zvornik.
Zvornik. Okay, good. I'm glad that you. Man, I've killed some of these names so many times. You know, I think he's averaging like about 14, 15 points a game. He's very steady, very stable. You know, he's a senior, so he has the experience and stuff. Along with him, he's got some senior leadership coming from Hal. So, you know, I think, you know, 20-3. They could do their thing.
Sure.
We might have two champions coming from the boys' side, you know.
That's true.
Boys' side of things. So they're impressive. They're an impressive bunch.
I look at their record, and there's sort of no rhyme or reason for their losses. The loss that they took to Flagstaff, they really took it on the chin. Flagstaff's a good team, and I believe plays above them. So they shouldn't have to worry about. I mean, I think Flagstaff came in and played against I think it was Saguaro the other day. I think they actually play in 4A, and I think Valley
they
Christian's
step up. Mm-hmm.
Below that. And
yeah,
so,
VC's, you know, 3A. Yep.
That loss isn't really something to be too upset about. Queen Creek, obviously, they were playing up in a tournament when that happened. And so if you look at the rest of their games, you know, they've pretty much taken care of business. You don't like the 16-point loss to Fountain Hills, but really since then, they haven't lost. I mean, we're looking at probably over 10 wins in a row and wins of
Double digits in several aspects.
They did come back and get Fountain Hills in overtime to avenge that loss. Since then, a 14-point win, a 30-point win on the road, and a 37-point win. And so, that's they're obviously dominating. They've shown that they can beat the team at their level that's beat them. If they can finish out these last three games of the season, that'll give them some huge momentum in tournament time.
Absolutely. VC certainly wants that top seed in both boys and girls side. Timmer and Hagsma just are really, they're focused, and we'll talk a little bit more about Scott Timmer and hear from him, but they want back-to-back or multiple titles together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, looking at their schedule the rest of the way, I mean, it just looks like Castile might pose a little bit of a problem for them. Castile's a 16-17 win team right now, and, you know, we'll see how that one works out.
And speaking of the Castile Colts, they took a loss in their most recent game to Fountain Hills, 56-52 in overtime. But indeed, they are a top-10 team at 17-10. All sophomores on this team, Eric Babcock led the way in the loss with 11 points. He was 3-for-4 from three-point land. On the girls' side, the Valley Christian girls always super competitive. Their latest victim, and this was just ugly, folks, 93-20 over the North Point Falcons. Megan Timmer, 24 points, 9 steals, and 8 rebounds. This is just straight-up domination, as we spoke with head coach Scott Timmer.
Scott Timmer, the head coach of the Valley Christian Trojans girls basketball team. Well, Coach Timmer, you have had a lot of solid teams this year, certainly no exception. Each team seems to have their own identity. Tell us about the 2017 team.
You know, the 2017 team is unique in the sense that they're probably one of the only teams that have this much talent and lost 3 years in a row in the semis or finals. So I would say this team is different just because it has an edge on it that they want it so bad. They've been close, but they haven't got it. So they feel that there's something missing from their high school career, and they just bring that intensity to practices and to games. I'm seeing more focus out of them this year. As you know, we only graduated one senior last year, and Caitlin was really the glue that kept us together last year. So this year's had to fight through who was going to be the leaders and who was going to be the glue, and as they fought through that, the overriding attention on winning a state title was always there. So we feel that we're there now, and we're coming into February right where we want to be.
19-3 as we speak, 10 straight wins upcoming on the schedule, ASU Prep and Castile. This will be your second round against them. You beat them both earlier in the year. Tell us what those two teams, or I guess walk us through those games, because it seems like they were over very, very quickly.
Yeah, you know, right now this team is obviously one of the best teams I've ever had. I've had a lot of good teams. So like in the years past, we know that we got to play those games with focus and intention. So we set goals on the kids. They have to get so many steals, so many assists, and so many rebounds, minus their turnovers. If they don't get to a certain mark, then they have to run for it the next practice. So,
wow, okay.
Yeah, we try to keep them as focused as we can on the positive aspects of the game. We want to respect our opponents, and we know that those schools are just building programs right now. I've gotten a very positive response from other coaches. They see how, you know, later in the game I'm playing a lot of players that are younger in our program and trying to develop them. We obviously run our sets and we do things not to embarrass people, but you know, we have a goal of winning it all, and so you have to come out and play hard every single game.
You have a three-headed monster, as I like to call your top three girls: Megan Timmer, Bethany Wolf, and Anna Gorman. Their leadership combined just brings you great things.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about this team is I would say the three-headed monster, maybe even bigger than that. We have girls that know their role. You know, Anna's the point guard, and she has to distribute the ball and you know, her defense up front, guarding the fastest player on the other team from game to game is fantastic. You know, Megan and Bethany have always been our scorers, but they've certainly added defense. That works with Sabri and Angie controlling the boards. And then off the bench is Haley Russell, who's shooting the best percentage on our team. And if teams forget to guard her, they're going to be sorry. She's shooting over 40% from the three-point line. And it's been going up as the season's progressed. She's lately just really found her shot and coming along. So, you know, the leadership from those girls is something special. I have lots of seniors who are leading this team. So I like to share the credit whenever I can.
And as far as sharing the basketball, you have an off guard who plays for you, Angie. She's coming up on 400 assists.
Yeah, you know, Angie is one of the best passers in the state. When colleges come watch us play, even if they don't recruit her, they just said, boy, I wish our kids saw the floor the way Angie does. Angie loves her teammates. She's one of the most unselfish players that I've ever coached. The 400 assists, if we wouldn't miss layups that she passes it to us, she could probably be in the 700s now. But she's always looking for the pass, making the extra pass. She loves to turn a good shot into a great shot, and she's actually played with 5 1,000-point scorers, which I think is some type of record.
Definitely is. There is no, well, there's always a next year, but for this go-around, you've got a lot of seniors. Next year, Megan Timmer, Bethany Wolf, they're going on to do some great things on and off the court.
Yeah, both Megan and Bethany are already signed. They got full-ride basketball scholarships to Emory-Riddle, which is an NAIA school. They fell in love not only with the coach but the academics up there, so they're moving on. Angie has some opportunities right now to play in college as well, and we're looking forward to her signing soon. But, you know, I've been with this group now for 4 years, and these six seniors are obviously really close to my heart. So we want to get it done for them, and we're not ready to let them move on yet.
The last name, Timmer, obviously is very prevalent throughout Valley Christian, years upcoming, present, and in the future. You've got a young man on the boys' basketball team.
Yeah, you know, my son Zach plays for Coach Hogsmo. He plays a little JV and varsity. He's probably the most athletic Timmer. His older brothers might want to argue that. But he's been playing one-on-one against his older brothers and Megan his whole life. We came here this past weekend just to shoot. He hit 97 out of 100 free throws. He's a very good shooter, very focused on his role. He's waiting his turn behind some seniors right now. But he loves the sport, and I think he's going to do great things as he his junior and senior year.
And Coach, I can definitely say not only myself, but on behalf of C-Town Rivals, we would love to see you cut down the nets in February.
Thank you. I'm trying not to think about it, but we have 7 games left, and we know where it is, and we have a scissors in the bag, and I hope it happens.
And in talking with Coach Timmer, he wants the title this year. I'm going to say in the worst way. His daughter, Megan Timmer, is a senior. He would love to win a title with his daughter. And at the same time, Ralph, as we know, they have had 4, even 5 very successful years consecutively, but they just haven't gotten to cut the nets down.
This is the best team to never have won at all. I think we've talked about it on previous podcasts, you know, that I think what they maybe had 5 losses total in 3 years, and 3 of them were championship games. I've never really seen anything like that. Even the years when the Buffalo Bills were going to Super Bowls every year, a
what
couple of those were mediocre
Patriots
teams.
That's right. No, you're right. That's
yeah,
true.
It's hard to win. People think about the New England Patriots. The Super Bowl's coming up this weekend. New England's only won 1 Super Bowl in the last 11 years, but everybody thinks of them as some
type of
dynasty, and the only reason they won that Super Bowl was because of a bad play call on Seattle's part. So sometimes it takes a ball bouncing your way, but this isn't just – it's not like the NFL. It's not like any other sport where if you just get hot come
February
playoff time,
case,
yeah,
right?
Like an 8-8 Steelers
right
in the Super Bowl 1 year or something like that, but it – what it really comes down to in basketball is being able to keep your rhythm and keep your momentum. And sometimes when you're so much better than your competition for such a long time, the first time you get a challenge can be a really
yes
big surprise. The best thing to liken it to would be like MMA fighting or something like that. If you have somebody who knocks somebody out in the first round every single time,
right,
when they finally get a fight with somebody actually gets out of the first round,
sure,
you know, they're in uncharted territory.
That's right.
You know, and so if you're Valley Christian's girls and you're not playing close games in the fourth quarter, or you can't find competition to get you ready for the playoffs, it's not necessarily your fault that not
that's
everybody
right
else is at your level. But at the same time, the way the AIA is set up, it's not like Valley Christian's girls basketball team can just play up a level while the rest of their sports play where they belong. Everybody has to be together, which is
that
a
hurts
great
them,
yeah,
yeah,
but there's not time for a committee to put together something where everybody's in the correct place all the time. So hopefully this is the year where they can do it, because I just because we've never seen something like this before, you don't really know how somebody would react to being this good and falling short at the top this many times
consecutively in a row. Yeah.
You know, it would be a huge disappointment. I would really like to see this team win it all, especially because the Timmer girl, like, she's mm-hmm. about to have such an illustrious career. She's going to go over 1,500 total points. She's going to have over 100 blocks for her career. She's going to have over 250 steals. Her rebound, she's already over 600. Like, just the stat line is so amazing that it would honestly be heartbreaking for somebody like myself if she didn't get to cut down those nets at the end.
She's somebody you almost got to break Chandler Sports Hall of Fame's 5-year rule for.
She, I mean, put it right in, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm with that.
She has done, this girl has done, like, so many, you know, different things and so many special things. You know, from her sophomore to her junior year, she doubled her three-point percentage. Like, I mean, there's just, you know.
A lot of great things to say about her. I mean, it's, yeah, terrific program. And as we know, we wish them nothing but the best, and we're hoping that they cut down the nets. Speaking of wins and potentially cutting down the nets, Karen Self and the Seton Catholic girls hoop team, they're 24-3. Last night they were able to roll past Casa Grande 74-27. Despite some injuries, this team is looking to play deep into February, as explained by their head coach.
I'm here with Coach Karen Self, the head coach of the Seton Catholic Sentinels. Coach Self, your first time as part of Seatown Rivals. Welcome to the show, and I'm going to hit you off with something crazy. You don't lose very often, but at 23-3, you guys had the stumbling block against Cactus Shadows. You don't lose often, but walk us through that game.
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. Secondly, you know, that was a rough game for our girls. You know, after the game, we told them better to lose now than in the playoffs. But we had a horrific shooting night. I think we were hovering right around 20% for the game. Wow. Missed
uncharacteristic.
9 layups, 11 free throws, 12 three-pointers that we missed. We were missing our leading scorer, Sarah Barcelo, out with a concussion, and also Leanne Worth, you know, put in a gutty performance to try and get out there and play, but she's been hampered by a injury in her back since mid-December. So, you know, it was not our best performance, but I think we can certainly learn a lot from that outing, and hopefully that will help us in the playoffs.
Are both players that you mentioned healthy, up and running as you move forward?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
They will be for the playoffs. Sarah's going through the entire concussion protocol, and so she's up to sprinting and practicing with no contact and doing really, really well, so we expect to have her back without any difficulties. Leanne is at the doctor today hoping for a little bit of a change in the course of treatment, and so we think we'll have her back without issue.
For our listeners, Sarah Barcelo, Jen Worth, Leanne Worth, their names, we see their names in the paper, but when you see them in person, describe their style and what they bring to the Sentinel basketball program.
Well, the one word that I think of is just tenacious. I mean, our kids play hard all the time. Sarah is a very versatile guard. She can go inside, outside. She's a slasher. She's very strong on the offensive boards and is a real spark for us in that respect. Leanne brings incredible versatility. She can, you know, play with her back to the basket at 6'3", but also is phenomenal from the three-point line. You know, she can take people off the bounce. The same thing with Jen. Jen's more of a face-up player, but still back to the basket at 6'2". There's not a ton of kids that can defend that. I love how hard the kids play.
Multiple state titles. When we look around the gym, banner after banner, you run an outstanding program. What have been the keys to success, and kind of describe your style of basketball?
I definitely consider myself a defensive-minded coach. We work very hard to teach defensive fundamentals and make sure the kids have a complete team defense around them, not just one-on-one all the time. But as far as, like, longevity and that kind of thing, I feel like our kids understand the culture that we try and promote here, and it's all about work ethic first. It's all about team first, and they buy into that. And, you know, everyone always jokes around about how many little sisters we have on our team. I think growing up in the Seton community and being able to see what their sisters have accomplished and seeing what our teams look like has helped – this current generation of kids to be able to embrace what we're trying to teach.
Holiday tournaments have seemingly been a staple for the game of basketball all over. You guys like to participate in them when you can. I'm sure it's a great, great help and a great exposure when you get to see out-of-state schools.
Yeah, this year we played in the Nike Tournament of Champions, and we got to play in their national division, which was phenomenal, and that's where two of our losses came from, but they were really, really close games to nationally ranked teams in the top 10, and I just think it made us so much stronger as a team to be able to see that kind of competition every day and bring our best against that.
Earlier you mentioned the camaraderie and the culture of the Seton Catholic program. I went to a high school that graduated almost 1,000 people. I think here in Chandler, the graduating class is probably no more than 150. Seems like it is truly a culture and very family-oriented, regardless of what sport.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, our sweatshirts that we wear say family across them. Our team shirts all say family on them. And that's just a part of, you know, not just literally family, because we are, but figuratively, because, I mean, everything we do is really about kind of lifting each other up and making sure that we are as strong as our weakest link kind of thing. So, yeah, it's definitely a feeling around this campus.
We're certainly rooting for you guys to cut down the nets in February. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'll tell you, yes, you can play with injuries, and they've done a very good job in doing that. Fortunately, the way she mentioned, Karen Self and the team will be fully healthy come February.
You know, I have little doubt that Karen will be able to, you know, band-aid this, use some athletic tape to get her team right with whatever the situation
is. And they're deep. Even
with injuries. Mm-hmm. She, you know, Barcelo, as great as she is, she's not in LeBron's predicament where she needs more talent. The talent is there.
Right.
And so as long as Barcelo can be a presence, I think Seton's fine. They're going to steamroll past, because I know that they don't want to play this school that I'm not going to mention right now. But, you know, I think that, you know, Seton's going to, you know, hang up another championship banner.
Absolutely. The Seton Catholic Sentinels definitely playing very well. It was great to talk to Coach Self. I had never met her before. Terrific coach. I took in a little bit of practice, and overall just a really solid program. And as we know, just a really good family orientation, family friendly on both the boys and girls side.
I still take the girls. I still take the girls.
I know you would.
Eight minutes against those boys.
On to Arizona Avenue in the CUSD. The Chandler Wolves girls team 19-6 after defeating the Perry Pumas 64-35 for their seventh straight win. Brenda Arbuckle's team is playing well at the right time, and they're currently ranked sixth. The defending state champion Hamilton Huskies, 22-3. They've won 9 in a row. 67-48 is the final in their latest triumph over Xavier. Trevor Nieder's team is ranked second, and they're looking to defend their title. Both Basha and Perry on the girls' side, sub-500, but they could qualify for the postseason. Quickly, let's go to soccer. Hamilton shuts out Central 4-0. They move into the quarterfinals against Cibola. Chandler eliminated in the first round, losing 3-2 to Tolleson. Girls action, Castile is the number 5 seed in 3A. They face Yuma Catholic in the state quarters. And as we speak, Seton Catholic girls ranked number 9 in 4A. They're playing Estrella Foothills, Hamilton hosting Desert Ridge, and 14th-ranked Chandler playing at Millennium. Perry is hosting Gilbert. Well, gentlemen, we've rolled through the in-season sports, and the meat of the matter, no disrespect to any other sports, but football drives the bus in virtually every high school organization nationwide. This is no exception. Signing day. What do we got? Who's going where? I mean, we could rattle a ton of them off, but let's...
I mean, real quick, you know, I'll start off. You know, I love the move. Johnny Johnson chose to go to Oregon instead of UNLV. That's been no secret.
Mm.
You know, the
TJ Green flipping from state to Utah.
From Oregon State to Utah. I'm sure he knows what he's doing, and I hope the best for both of those boys. Other than that, like, I've been staying on Ralph's Twitter, at Ralph Amson, and trying to keep up with everything, and, you know, staying on the Arizona Varsity ArizonaVarsity.com page, because I've seen the most incredible pieces, some of which have almost brought me to tears, that Ralph has put together with KJ Jarrell and Paul Amount.
Yeah, I actually had some players this year that were kind enough to let me help them write their own commitment stories on ArizonaVarsity.com,
and that is cool.
Which is great.
That's real cool.
We're still working on putting together the documentary on Chandler football season, and so we had somebody out filming their signing day today. Some of the more interesting signings: Chandler, obviously TJ Green going to Utah. You know, he flips to Utah, but they're able to point and say, like, hey, we had a running back come back out of retirement in the middle of the season last year and run for 1,400 yards. You can come here and play day one and be in this offense. And so that's something that's kind of hard to turn down. One of the other commitments, Jonathan Nathaniel takes an official visit to Washington State and ends up committing. So he should be able to go out there and compete for a spot at either tackle or guard. So good for him.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. He's a good kid.
Ryan Kelly is on board at ASU despite them losing their offensive coordinator. And so he'll be part of a six-headed quarterback battle, including former Chandler quarterback Bryce Perkins. That's going to be going on out there. That'll be really interesting to watch. Perry actually had a long snapper, Adam Higuera, go to Tulsa, which is really good for him. And then you'll love this, Brett. Jaron Birch, who we never really heard much from at the high school level, and you went out to an ASU camp before the season, and you said that he was a player to watch. He was out playing at Phoenix College for Kieran Taylor.
Yes.
He was a guy who only had a couple of catches.
Yes.
And Perry's a senior. He got on at NAU. On scholarship.
That's awesome.
To play wide receiver. So
wow. Okay.
I remember you saying, like, I don't know if he's ASU caliber, but there's this guy, Jaron Birch, and I guess he went to Perry. And,
awesome.
And he looked good with all these other wide receivers out there. Well, he was good enough to get himself a scholarship, so good for him.
And Terrell Brown is obviously at NAU.
Terrell Brown's at NAU.
Is that dual sport?
Chance Brewington as well, right?
Chance Brewington also. So NAU, I thought NAU was only going to take one or two receivers. They end up taking five, and three are from the Chandler area. They got Terrell Brown, they got Jaron Birch, and they got Chance Brewington, and they added I think Justice Stokes from Williamsfield and maybe another one.
So, Stokes went over.
So an impressive class for Aaron Flugrod out there at NAU. He's going to be their wide receivers coach. They're doing a fantastic job, but I thought that you'd like that.
That's great.
Who else we got? I think Hamilton had C.J. Jarman, who was committed to Idaho, decided to try to gray shirt at LSU.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
exactly.
Look at
good
that.
Good luck to him.
Okay.
Good luck to him.
Yeah.
So he's out there. I guess he's a legacy. I think either his mom, ran track. So he's going to go out there. He's going to see if he can find his way onto the team.
And gray shirting, there's no harm in that because he doesn't lose his time. His clock doesn't start. So if he finds out that he has potential opportunity to make the team the following year, he can stick. And if he finds out that he doesn't, then
somebody
he can
else
bounce.
Be able to pick him up. Yeah. So I mean, that's fantastic for him. And there were a couple others who went on to the junior college level and have managed to make their way onto rosters out of the JUCO level as well.
And real quick, you know, I promised that I would ask you something on the spot. I had a couple kids talk to me about, the situation with flipping and picking other schools and stuff like that. I'm not a parent, so it's tough for me to, say hey, I would do this. Stay with your original commitment, be a man and follow your word and stuff. Ralph, you're actually a parent. So I'm wondering, what kind of advice do you have for parents and some of these kids? Because you cover it so a lot more closely than I did from the recruiting aspect. What are your thoughts on, flipping schools and this decision that these kids have to make?
My first set of advice would be don't play sports. because if you don't want these problems, then, it's tough because you'll have coaches come and go, and you'll have, you see this all the time. You follow University of Texas, you follow Penn State, you can have the entire coaching staff
switch out.
And out.
Oh, yes, that's
you
right.
can have your position coach just disappear. Like Arizona State hired Alabama's wide receivers coach 3 days before signing day.
Correct.
You're not supposed to make commitments based on the relationships that you form. You should really be committing to yourself, what you're interested in, and finding the best setting for you, regardless of who the coach is, regardless of who the assistants are, or the other players. But a lot of what that setting is, these are people you're going to be around every single day.
Yes.
If you're an athlete, you're not going to have a social life.
Right.
I mean, you're
going to spend more time with those coaches and than your family?
Right.
Or like you said, your friends are on the team in that locker room.
You eat together. Yes. You live together. You practice together. You have the same study halls together. You travel together. More often than not, you're going to a school that has a little bit different climate than Arizona, and you're going to be there in less friendly seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to be cooped up indoors. It's not like you're going to be, you know, out exploring, doing different things and everything like that. We have people from the city of Chandler who go to like Lake Forest, who go to Utah State.
Shout out to Zach Wade from Seton.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, all over, people end up all over the country. North Dakota,
South Dakota
mm-hmm. schools recruit Arizona really, really well. And so if you're talking about D1 kids, then you ultimately want to find the best fit for you and understand that they're all going to be pretty good fits. Everything is an A or A-minus option. There is no D1 school that you're going to commit to where you're just going to go have a really bad time without some sort of surrounding circumstances with it. You know, your coach is a jerk or you're homesick or anything like that. If you're out there making the most of it, you're really going to enjoy it. For a lot of these kids who are going D2, NAIA, and everything like that, it's just a matter of realizing that your undergraduate degree can be in anything.
Yes.
Absolutely anything. And you'll be fine. Go on and get your master's after. Find some place where you can play football and get it paid for.
And also on that note, I had to run this on. You know, you get it going in school. It doesn't matter what level. Because you can also always grad transfer to a better situation if you all of a sudden bulk up a little bit, you grow a little bit or whatever, like Jaylen Brown did. And now he's taking this opportunity, this amazing opportunity to get a master's degree.
I mean, that's the one thing, that we don't, I'm not going to say we don't preach enough, but the grades are huge because that helps open up a huge amount of doors. I mean, that really is big. And it's not that we don't preach it, but that's ridiculously important.
Try it if you are fortunate enough to be able to make sure that your 15, 16-year-old doesn't have to have a job, try to help them treat this like a job.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, they're lifting, going on visits, talking to coaches, getting in a mentor type situation, talk to one of us, see what we know, reach out to Jason Jewell, you know, reach out to all of these people who have actually been through it before, find parents who have been through it before, talk to as many people as you can, and put your kid in a situation to be focused on it. If they're not going to take it seriously, then obviously, you know, withdraw that support, enjoy your time with your kid, don't push something on them that they don't want to do, don't ruin your relationship, you're going to have that forever. But if they're serious about it, help them be serious about it, make them realize that they can be what they're trying to be right now, which includes trying to take AP courses or community college courses so that you go into college already having some credits under your belt so you can put yourself in a situation to graduate early if you need to. Make sure that they're not only, you know, making every voluntary lifting thing with their teammates at the school, but they're aware of what's out there as far as trainers. Now, I'm not talking about private. I'm not going to come out and endorse any type of private coaching because, if a private coach comes to you and says, like, I can get you an offer, that's something that I would typically ignore. But if a private coach comes to you and says, I can get you in shape, and if you get an offer, you get an offer. That's probably somebody you should be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's APE, a performance that's helping.
Oh my
a
God!
Lot
and what they've done is amazing. Shout out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry Graham, and they don't endorse us. They don't pay us anything, but we actually see the results. They're trying to get kids ready on day one to go in and be collegiate performers, no matter what level they're on. So just find a way to take it seriously. Realize that you're not waiting to work hard. You're working hard now.
Absolutely.
Every bit of work that you put in now is to give you an opportunity to work harder later. You don't want to wait. You don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want to go out and find out that it's too much, too hard, too high of a level, not fit in, burn out, or essentially be left behind. So if your child is looking to take this seriously, help them take this seriously. If they are not, then make sure that this is the most fun, rewarding high school athletic experience they could possibly have, because this is going to be the highest level. There's no reason to be in your kid's face all the time saying, you know, you need to do this, you need to take it seriously. Just enjoy it. It's supposed to be fun anyway. But if they want to move beyond this, then they're going to have to start preparing right now, because it is extremely competitive out there.
It really is.
Yeah,
scholarships are hard to come by, that's for sure.
And I know we shouted out APE athletic strength conditioning.
Quick shout out also to Hunter Risen, former CUSD player, Bashy. He is going.
Where's he going?
Michigan State.
What?
Yes.
Yep. Just like his.
Yes.
Pops.
Absolutely.
Bad moon. Another bad moon rising.
Yep.
Speaking of bad moon rising, I know we're about to wrap this up, but I got to shout out my man. I promised him I would do this. Jamal Williams. He's been following a lot of high school athletes out here. From BYU, running back from BYU, has climbed the ranks. He's now the number 3 pro prospect. And I'm going to try to catch up with him, talk to him about a couple of these kids and how hard this decision really is. Something that I'm going to try to make exclusive for ArizonaVarsity.com and, you know, his man Luke Donovan that he's training with. They got someplace out there, the Athletes Factory in North Scottsdale.
If you could do me a favor and just tell him to go back in time and leave Wyoming alone.
Sorry,
I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, that bowl game. Wasn't there a bowl game or something?
There
like
was a bowl game. Jamal Williams is a bad man.
How bad? How bad is he? I'm going to let you tell
him. I don't want to talk or think about it right now. He tore my team up.
He got a flashback. Rob had a flashback.
Well, fellas, as always, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of information passed around. And next time we get together, we'll be midway through the hoop playoff season. But there's always football to talk about. It's great to see these guys who we've known for 2 and 3 years now move on into the college ranks and see them sign their offers. So congrats to everybody, not only in the CUSD, but everybody within the state of Arizona. Until next time, Brett, Ralph, and Chili, out.